All right, I'll get a little closer here. All right, you know, the name of the sermon comes from verse 3 in the scripture that Jason read. And, you know, there's different versions, as you saw. The version that Jason was reading is a bit different than the one that we had on the slides. But the one that we have here is, instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You know, scripture is full of metaphors, right? And the name of the sermon is based on that metaphor, itching ears. And I just kind of, you know, just laughed at that, right? Because it's so visual. Oh, what is that? After the pandemic, there has been a common idea among a lot of people, and I think many of us would agree, that we're just not the same people anymore. There's this recurrent thing that I've been hearing in conversations with people, and we just went through a whole pandemic, and we cannot forget that. It's not possible that we can be the same people that we were before, right? Is that also a feeling that you've had in the last months or so? It's like, we just went through a whole pandemic. I don't think I need to remind you that many of us were stuck at home, right? So remember those days where we were in the living room watching the news 24/7 for some of us? Some of us were watching Netflix, you know? Some of us were reading a lot. Some of us were connecting with our loved ones across the country. Remember those Zoom meetings, Zoom interviews, Zoom dates, Zooming in school, Zooming out, remember those? Even Sunday school, I heard, here at Crossroads, for our children, some of them were through Zoom. And some of us still had to go to work. Some of us were wearing masks. There was a lot of uncertainty. And some of us we're walking a lot. I remember my wife Celeste and I, we were walking around. We met areas that we had never imagined that we would meet. Like, oh my goodness, we have, you know, Culver's here. I didn't know that, right? Walking a lot around our own houses. Some of us tried to make the best out of retirement. I know we have some people here who are retired, right? And some of us had flights that were canceled, right? Canceled plans. Canceled goals, a lot of cancellations in the last 2 years, a lot of changes all at once. It's just not possible that we can be the same after that. And so you've heard stories of people who said, well, you know, I know the pandemic was terrible, terrible. Almost 1 million lives lost because of COVID-19, or a bit more, I would say at this point. But you know, I've heard comments that say, but you know what, there's something good that came from it. It really made me appreciate things. I've heard comments like the pandemic made me a better person, or it's one of the best things that happened to me. Have you heard of those comments before? Has anyone, yeah? I see some noddings, yeah. For sure, a lot of priorities were changed. And the point that I'm trying to share here is that a lot of the whys of our lives were reoriented, were reprioritized, recentered, in part because of the pandemic. Do you remember seeing those pictures of rivers and lakes around the U.S. and in Italy? I remember having a conversation, so I have family in Italy, and I remember talking to my mom about it. There were rivers in Venice that you saw them during the pandemic, and since a lot of people were not traveling, they were cleaner, they were not as polluted. Do you remember seeing those pictures and those videos? And so the earth was less polluted because there wasn't a lot of human activity. So definitely the earth sure loved that, right? And so many of us, I would say, even myself included, realized that I had been focused on the hows and the whats of things, of ministry. I had been serving as a missionary for 7 years in global ministries. And I remember that 2020, if I looked at my calendar of projects, I just didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I had so many things stacked up in 2020, so many projects to travel in the state of Wisconsin, do this for you, do this for children. And when the pandemic came, things changed everything. And I had to think a little bit about the why of things, what really matters. And in the passage that we've heard today, Paul is trying to remind Timothy of the why of being a disciple for Jesus Christ. Verse 15, it says, "How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." Now remember, Paul is writing to Timothy, and remember that we mentioned the first Sunday that Paul is the mentor of Timothy, right? It's a mentor-mentee relationship. And so Paul is trying to remind Timothy to remain focused on what's important. It's sort of what parents and mentors do. Like, we don't want our children to make the same mistakes we did, right? So Paul is like, let me tell you something. Focus on what matters. It's not about performance or about showing off. It's not about our own agenda or our own goals, but it's about God's teachings of love, God's teaching of compassion and justice. That's what Scripture is. Scripture is like a big poetry, a lot of books, right? A lot of stories. But in essence, it's a poem of love for humanity, right? Paul is saying it's Scripture that is God-breathed. Scriptures point to a new reality of what we can be individually and collectively. We can be part of that being of God, love, justice, compassion. So it's not even much about what I can accomplish as a person, although we love to accomplish things, and that is a good thing, but we cannot get bogged down on accomplishments at a certain amount of time. It's about God's love, about loving people, being true to oneself as we serve others. But it's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? Even for me, as a pastor, I gotta constantly check myself. And I tell my wife, please keep me in check. And she sure does, you know? I don't have to tell her, she does. But it's so easy to get distracted. And Paul in that book is trying to say, be focused. There can be a lot of distractions. There can be a lot of distractions. I remember when Celeste and I were pregnant, even though I think she was feeling that, you know, the highest consequences of being pregnant, right? not that I think she was. we met the organization that came last Sunday. We met, you know, Maricela, and we met her at a health clinic fair in Madison. And it was outside, it was the summer, it was the fall time. And I remember meeting Maricela. And quickly we connected and we learned more about the program that they helped pregnant women and the spouse to go through this process, right, of education and also of preparation. And I'll never forget, it was an exercise that we did, she and I, my wife and I. The doula came to us and we had a session together. So we did all kinds of things together. We did yoga together. I mean, you should have seen me. I was trying my best. I was like, oh my goodness. But we did this exercise I'll never forget. Maricela grabbed water, cold water, ice water, you know, with ice. And she said, put both of your hands there and we'll do an exercise to see how long you last. And I said, okay, I got this. All right. And so she and I, so we put our hands there on the ice water, and I do what I usually do when there's pressure or stress or pain. I talk. I try to use humor to, you know, downplay the pain. So I was talking to my wife about it, making some jokes, and I saw in her face that she wasn't really digging the talking, right? And I kept at it, you know. And I lasted a little longer, a few seconds, and she just, you know, took her hands out, and I lasted there longer. And then we had a reflection with the doula, and the doula asked us, what did you learn? Like, what did you think about the exercise? And so we talked out, and what I got from the conversation was that Celeste process things different than I do, right? Especially in pressure. And what she told me was, I don't want you to do a lot of talking. I want you to just follow me. I want to focus on my breath, right? I want to breathe in and out, and I want you to do that for me. And so I quickly was reminded that I was there for her and for the baby. We were preparing for the delivery. It wasn't this game, right? I was reminded of the why I was there from the very beginning, right? And so we did it again, and I didn't last as long because I was quiet and I was, you know, just trying to follow her. And I took my hands out, and she lasted longer. But that was the point, right? The point was there to surround my wife with support, with love, and to follow her. And I mentioned that because, one, it was a very real, you know, memory of mine because, you know, the doulas came last Sunday. But it's an example of how easy it is to lose the sense of the why. Why is it that we are there? And so it can be easy to lose focus. We all process things different. We all get distracted in different ways, especially in this age of so many things happening. It's easy to lose the why. It's easier to be distracted when the why is fading away. And that's why I wanted to focus on that. If you give me a few more minutes, I wanted to talk about that, because as we are losing the why, as the why fades away, it's easier to get distracted. Why do we follow Jesus Christ? Why is it that we come to worship on a Sunday morning? Why is it that we are active through our church serving the community? Do we just see it as a transactional relationship, right? I give in, you take, I give in. Do we see faith in that way, like banks do, right? I mean, with banks, that's how they work. Do we view our relationship with the church that way? And so this sermon is to really lift up those questions. It's not to answer, right? But just really to lift them up. Because Paul in this text wants to make sure Timothy remembers the why of following Jesus Christ. Because if the why is not clear, there will be other doctrines that can look attractive. Now, we can go into talking about a little bit more about the history of what Paul was referring to, right? But I don't want to go there. That will be for another sermon. But what I would like to just focus would be of the real danger of losing the why. Because other ideas, other ideologies, other activities can replace the why. And Paul says these doctrines, these ideas, these activities always can be attractive. Why? Because they satisfy our wants. They satisfy our perception of what is good. And as pleasing as it may sound, that can keep us distracted, complacent. That can keep us in this vicious cycle of looking for things, pleasure, happiness, and then we fail. And then we go back to chasing something else. So it's like we're chasing cars and we can't really get the right one. And I don't think I have to tell you, because we are parents or grandparents or we are uncles and aunts. The perfect example is Halloween, right? When our kids want more candy, they want more of the Reese's, you know, they want more of the Musketeer candy. And at some point, we have to say no to our children. Sorry, you know, I see children over here. At some point, we have to say, no, you've had enough candy already, right? And children don't like to hear no. I don't have to worry about that this year, but next year, it'll be something else. But we know that sometimes we have to say no to our children, right? And just because we want to hear something doesn't mean that what we want to hear is good for us, right? How many of us have been around family or friends with strange thoughts or conspiracy stories? It seems as though now we're living in that kind of age of conspiracy stories. And I didn't know this actually existed, but there are prominent groups of people who still believe that the earth is still flat. Have you heard of that? Yeah? I didn't know it until recently. I was watching a documentary, and I said, oh, I thought that was something that belonged back in the 17th century. Well, no. And granted, we live in a free country, right? Everyone is entitled to their own opinion. That's good, right? But these flat earth conspiracy believers want this idea to be recognized and be taken as a fact. There are a lot of people in literature out there. I was watching, you know, videos on YouTube, and there's people who are talking about this and giving you certain facts about it. Like, no, the earth is flat, and, you know, it's because X, Y, and Z. And I was shocked and following up with these videos, and I said, Mike, it's so easy to get distracted. And to, at some point, I was like, wait a minute, is the earth flat? Because it's so appealing, it's so attractive, right? Can you imagine flat earth advocates writing science books? Many of these conspiracy stories have the ability to hurt others, to have people killed. These false narratives, this disinformation can lead to more deaths, can lead to unnecessary suffering. There's another conspiracy story that I want to share with you. Lies that can lead to dead lives. Do you remember the Sandy Hook Elementary shooting? Just recently, a few days ago, are you familiar with Alex Jones? He's a famous radio host. Then just recently, a judge ordered for him to pay nearly $1 billion for spreading this information about Sandy Hook Elementary School. And it's not a joke, right? There's families who were involved, families who lost their children, their youth. And now they had to deal with this gentleman who, for some reason, right, we can, you know, debate about that. He wanted to perpetuate that all of that was made up. So we know very well that lies can lead to dead lives. We know it so well in this country, especially after what we've been through the last year and a half. And so Paul is warning to Timothy, be careful, be aware of these false narratives that sound attractive, like the conspiracy stories, right? But I feel like people, or some of us who may get distracted with these ideas, we kind of lose the essence of why of things, right? And so Paul knows, now granted, the context in which the book is written is very different, right? I'm just using some examples. But there were doctrines back in that time that for Paul, it was deviating from the real why of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's about love. It's about justice. It's about walking with each other. It's about worshiping our Creator. It's about fellowship. It's about unity, not about divisions. And so Paul is reminding Timothy, and in a way is reminding ourselves too, that we need to be focused on the why. Because if we're focused on the why, we're less prone on giving up to these distractions. So we don't have to wait, and I'll finish with this. We don't have to wait to go through a whole pandemic again. Thank you, Carol. Yep. We don't have to go through a whole pandemic to be part of this moment of enlightenment, right? We can be reminded every day why we do certain things, why we worship God, why we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And so as I finish sharing this word, I'm going to do this exercise and see how it goes. Please help me. I'm going to leave this altar here for next Sunday. And if you would like to bring something to put in on the table, I'm inviting you to do so. You can come in the week, right? We have choir on Wednesdays. We have the Spanish and Scripture Growth Group on Thursday. So we have different things going on in the week. So you're free to come or give a message to Tressie and put something that reminds you of the why of faith. Why is it that you love Jesus? Why is it that you feel called to serve people, right? And you're invited to put it here. But also, let's lift up some of the whys. Maybe a word or a phrase. As you are been hearing the sermon, as you've heard the hymns for this morning, what are some of the reasons of why you are here, right? Why you come to church? Why you even came on this Sunday morning to worship? And I know that, you know, Dakota is thinking, well, I came here to play the flute, you know, with my parents, right? But why is it that we come? Let's lift it up one by one. Dale. Duluth. Okay. A moment in your life. Wow. A moment of our lives. Something happened to us, right? Amen. Thank you. It's one of the commandments, right? It's scripture, right? We're following a sense of duty, right? Sense of responsibility. I love that, yeah. A sense of responding. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, Carol. To know God's love, yes. That love that came to us one day or in one experience, and we were just never the same again. Amen. Yes, Kathy.
He's the King of Kings, but also the best friend you'll ever have.
Amen. So Jesus is King of Kings, right? Royalty, but at the same time, so relatable, right? Not too distant, not too high up there, but also a friend that stands with us in solidarity. Thank you, Kathy. Anyone else? Yes, Char. Hope for the better times. Moments can be dark, moments can be lonely, but there is a glimmer of hope, and that's why we are coming back. Yes. Then I saw, yeah.
It was called to serve.
Called to serve, right? A sense of calling. Not a sense that I do whatever I want, but a sense of calling. That I'm choosing because I have felt something in my heart. So a sense of calling, yep. Anyone else? Yes.
Peace.
A God of peace. In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of chaos, we can still hold peace in our hearts. Yes, Trent.
Community,
a sense of community, a sense that we are not alone. A sense that there is a community with us. Sort of like an anchor, right? Yeah, community. Well, praise be to God. So let us go into prayer. Wonderful God, you are gracious and loving, and you challenge us in so many ways. You love us just as we are. And I give you thanks and give you glory for this morning, for a time of centering ourselves on the why, a moment of grounding ourselves in that why of being a disciple, of why being people of faith. And so I give you glory and honor. I pray, God, that this message continues to sink in into our hearts and minds, and that you can speak to us just as we are, because we are people of hope. We are people of compassion. We are your family. And all of this we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.